You're listening to another great podcast in the MyMac Podcasting Network.
TechFan Podcast number 523. I'm Tim Robertson, still with the sinus infection and a cough, and he's David Cohen.
Well, hi there.
It's the things kicking my butt. A lot of people have the same thing in this area. Nobody knows why. Mm-hmm. Feels good, though.
It makes you want to squirt saline up your nose and rinse it all out.
Yeah, if I could. The problem is when you're congested, it doesn't do anything.
Yeah, well, if you hooked it up to a pressure washer, it probably would.
Yeah, I'd blow it out my ear. That'd be fun. So Dave and I have actually been talking for about 20 minutes before we actually started recording about, you know, he almost got screwed over on a car dealer. They tried to screw him over, and the information they gave him,
the old bait and switch.
Yes, that's pretty much what it was. I could pretty much tell David immediately everything they did wrong and what I would have done to save the sale and get him what he wanted rather than what's convenient for them. But
convenient for them, but substantially more expensive to me is never a good combination.
Mm-mm. No. So, you know, that happens. If anybody out there is listening, here's an offer for you. Anybody listening, you're thinking about buying a car. You've got pricing. Or they're trying to tell you one thing and you're just not sure. You're not getting clear answers on the internet. Send us an email, theshow@techfanpodcast.com. I'll respond to you within 24 hours. I'll tell you if you're getting a good deal for the most part, especially if it's a Toyota product. If they're telling you one thing, but you think something else, I'll let you know. But hit me up. I'm happy to help any listener out there. You know, I treat my customers at my store the same way. You know, I know that car salesmen have a bad reputation for a good reason. There's a lot of scummy people out there. But both dealerships that I've worked at have not been like that. They just haven't. I'm sure that back in the 90s and the 80s, and it was a lot different. But nowadays, the crap salesmen who try to pull BS on customers are found out pretty quickly. They don't get repeat business. They don't get referrals. The customers are too smart. They can just look stuff up on the internet. You know, mistakes happen sometimes, but, you know.
Yeah. But even if it's a genuine mistake, I mean, I take the view that I want somebody to come on, tell me about it honestly, and offer me options that they recognize are going to work for me. What this guy did is he offered me options that weren't going to work for me, and he knew it, and he tried it anyway in the hope that, you know.
Well, he lied about it, though. That's the problem.
Yeah. Well, that's it, because the story he told me did not hold up. He basically, the situation was, we ordered a vehicle. We need a new vehicle for my wife because she needs a car that's big enough to have a wheelchair hoist fitted to the back.
Oh, so I thought you were going to say big enough for you to fit into.
Well, that too. But
you're not as big as she used
to be. She's in a small subcompact Toyota Yaris at the moment, which she loves. It's 7 years old. It's running absolutely fine. But we can't fit the wheelchair hoist into it. And when the wheelchair is in the boot, then she has no room for anything else. So we needed a bigger car. So we ordered a car in January. And it was due in roundabout now. And I called them up last week and said, when's it due? And, oh, yeah, I think it'll come in next week. So then he called me yesterday and he said, the vehicle's come in. There's been a mistake. Did he say mistake? No, he said, but the factory have sent us one with a slightly different drivetrain, is what he said. And I said, what do you mean? He said, well, they've sent us an all-wheel drive one. It's like a, you know, mid-size SUV. They've sent us a four-wheel drive one, and the one you ordered was two-wheel drive. So I said, okay. Expecting him to say, but you know what? It's our mistake, so we'll figure it out. And he said, no, so that will be an extra $2,000 up front, the £2,000 up front. And I went, right. Still waiting for him to then follow up and say, but don't worry about that. You know. And he said, right, okay, so is that okay? And I went, no, obviously. I said, we don't need all-wheel drive. I said, we live in Britain. We're not farmers. We don't need four-wheel drive. And obviously, and I was new in the back of my mind that the four-wheel drive, because the extra weight and complexity and mechanics of a four-wheel drive system means that the fuel economy on the vehicle won't be as good because obviously, you know, you're carrying extra weight apart from anything else, and you've got extra friction in the drivetrain. So it was something not only did I not want to pay extra for, but I didn't want it at all. And I said, right, well, you know, that's no good. And I said, why are you, you seem, you know, I said, why are you expecting me to accept this? I said, if it's your mistake, you need to sort out, well, it's not our mistake, it's the factory.
Yeah, that's our fate, by the way.
Yeah, and yeah, well, that's, I didn't really believe that, but I said, well, I said, whether it is or not doesn't really matter. I said, you've got Ford over the door, and the factory's got Ford over the door. I said, as far as I'm concerned, it's Ford's mistake to rectify. And so eventually I said, look, I said, if you give us the car for the same money, then we'll take it. You know, we need the car quite urgently. So I said, we'll take it. If you can't, then we won't. Oh, well, maybe I can get you one in a different colour in a couple of weeks. So I said, well, I'll ask my wife that. But I suspect I know what she's going to say. And he said, or if you want the exact model you wanted, then we can maybe get it in 4 weeks. I said, you said maybe. I said, can you give me a definite date? He said, no. So I said, it could be a lot longer than 4 weeks, and it could be up to a new reorder up to 3 months. He said, yes, potentially. So I said, right, well, I'll talk to my wife about it. And then I did say to him, I said, frankly, I'm surprised you're telling me about this. I said, for a mistake of this magnitude, if it is a mistake, I would expect the head of the dealership to be calling me to apologise rather than you. And I said, I'd expect you to be offering me something, you know, to apologise for what's happened. Oh, well, yeah, I did speak to my manager and he said we can knock a couple of £100 off. So that would have, you know, reduced it to £1,800 up front, which wasn't going to happen. So anyway, I spoke to Leanne about it and then we called him back and we said, forget it. Keep your car and we'll go somewhere else.
Yep. So for those listening thinking that, well, I mean, it's not really their fault they sent the wrong vehicle. No, the factory did not send the wrong vehicle. That never happened.
Because
the
factory does not send
wrong vehicle.
Yeah, it does not build the wrong car and then send it out and go. Yeah.
The production for vehicles are months in advance. So what happened was they got this in. They didn't have it pre-sold. They went to their list to see what people are waiting for, and they saw that everything except the fact that it's more expensive. It's a different model. It's an all-wheel drive, not a front-wheel drive. Hey, Chuck, go call your customer, Mr. Cohen, and see if he'll take this one. It's going to cost more, but you know, tell him we could take a couple $100 off. And that's what happened. Now, had they called you, this is what I would have done in the situation. I already told David this, but this is for the listeners. What I would have done is I would have called, and I would have said, Mr. Cohen, I apologize. We still do not have your vehicle coming, but I wanted to offer you a couple options. You've been waiting 4 months now. We don't like the fact that you've been waiting so long, but it is what it is. It's the factory. There's nothing we can do. However, I do have, it matches exactly what you're looking for, except for it's an all-wheel drive, not a front-wheel drive. It does cost about $2,000 more. Would you want to go that route? In which case, you would have been like, no.
Yeah.
Then I would have said, okay, well, I do have a silver and a white one coming in, or whatever the colors are. That's not a perfect match, but these will be here soon. We can get you in a vehicle sooner if you'll take these colors. Otherwise, we still have to wait for them to send exactly what you've ordered. Would you rather change colors and get one sooner or than later? Maybe you want to talk to your wife about that, see if that would be acceptable. Mm-hmm. You know, more sympathy, like, hey, we're with you. We don't get paid until you get the car. That being said, we'd like you to get exactly what you want, but this is the situation. Would you rather do one of these options? And put it on you whether you want to do that or not. They made a mistake in the factory, because they did not. The factories do not make mistakes like that. They just don't. Yeah. Now, they could install a defective product that, you know, died as soon as it got to the dealership. That will happen sometimes, but factory did not make a mistake and built the wrong complete. They accidentally put a whole different drivetrain in this vehicle.
Exactly.
Oopsie. Yeah. No.
Yeah. Somebody ticked the wrong box somewhere, and then they said, you know, hey, Fred, we got more work on this to do than we thought. You know, let's install.
I thought this was supposed to be a front-wheel drive.
Let's install €1,000 more worth of stuff in it just for a laugh.
Yeah. And just send it out to, you know, the Ford dealership. Yeah. Oopsie. But, yeah, no, it doesn't work that way. So if they would have been up front with you, you'd probably still have your money there. Let's be honest. If they would have approached you that way. Well, but you were already waiting, and here's an opportunity to get out of waiting even longer.
The reason we called when we did is because when we ordered the car, they told us when they were expecting it to come in, and it was round about now.
Yeah, the and problem I with that is they probably sold it on accident to somebody else.
Yeah, I think that's more likely, is that somebody came in and wanted a car that day and saw it in the lot and said, can I have that one? And they sold it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what they did. And then they went through the Ford network and said, can we get the one the customer's waiting for? Oh, well, the only one we can get in the color and the spec they want is all-wheel drive. Well, let's try them with that. I think that's probably what happened.
I think you're right.
But, you know, yeah, because we're buying through a disabled leasing scheme. And I'm pretty sure they make more money if they sell the car to somebody for cash or for a conventional finance rather than going through our leasing scheme. So I think that's more likely what happened is they sold our car because they had a customer who wanted that specific thing and they were ready to pay cash or finance there and they would make more money on it. And that's
I don't think that's what happened. I think that somebody accidentally sold that car when they weren't supposed to. I think someone screwed up.
Yeah.
Yeah, because now they lost a car sale. Where the person that walked in and said, can I buy that one, probably would have taken something else. But, you know, the dealership screwed up one way or another. And instead of owning up to it, they covered one mistake by making another one. So, it is what it is.
Yep.
And what's that got to do with tech? Nothing. But we host the show and we'll talk about any goddamn thing we want to talk about.
But the thing, I mean, you know, we are about to come on to manufacturing practices and availability of things.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that on this show because, you know, things are changing rapidly right now in the world. And it's affecting not just technology, but kind of everything.
Yeah, but a lot of the things we talk about all come from, are all built and manufactured in one or two places. And at the moment, with the way things are politically in the US, it means that anybody who wants to buy that stuff in the US is going to be paying more because
there's been a whole load of extra charges. Yes, you do have to remember, though, this is going to make us great again.
Oh, apparently.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is the way.
I think it's going to make you pay more for your tech again.
Yes.
Because you can't get away from it. It's already happened.
Correct.
In the wake of the Tariff Liberation Day, there were plenty of manufacturers who immediately announced pauses of selling their products to the US because of uncertainty.
Yeah. So even if tariffs don't go into effect because they pushed everything back or canceled orders, things are going to get more expensive. So this is what happens when you elect someone completely incompetent.
Yeah, well, whatever the motivations and the reasons behind it, let's not get into that. Let's just talk about the effects. And I look at this and what I see is, you know, we've seen certainly in the stock market and everything, the uncertainty, the fact that one day the tariffs are on, then they might be suspended, then they might be negotiated away and everything, just means nobody can commit in these very tight, as we've just been talking about, just-in-time manufacturing trains, where basically stuff is manufactured based on the demand at that moment with a lead time. But everybody does this. Apple does this. All the tech companies do this. They look at what they're going to sell over the next few months based on their projections, and they manufacture it as close as possible to when it's going to be sold because they don't want to hold
big inventory. Some of the big manufacturers like Toyota or Chevy or Apple or Nintendo, they're using projections, and it's not just a couple months, David. It's a year and a half in advance. Yeah. These are things that you can't just order. Apple's not going to come out and say, hey, we're building a new iPhone. We need this screen. We're going to start building it in 6 months. That's not how it works.
Well, no. For the September iPhone launch this year, they will probably be finalizing their manufacturing plans they probably already got them lined up, but they will actually be ready to hit the button very, very soon and start, because you can't have millions of units on the shelves on iPhone Day without having built them in advance.
Correct.
And, you know, it takes, you don't just build 5 million iPhones overnight. It takes a certain amount of time.
And people think that, but that's Apple, except Apple doesn't build these products, number one.
No.
They also don't build the components to build those products. So the components have to be built way in advance. Then they all have to go to whoever's going to assemble it. I don't think most people realize the complex chain of events that have to happen for you to have a new Nintendo Switch in your hand, or an iPhone, or an Android. It is a over a year process just to build the very first one. Before we have one order for it, so much has happened. And so when things get turned into turmoil, and remember, this is the frustration part. We're just now getting back to normal after COVID.
After COVID,
yeah. Yeah, we're just now, things are kind of back to normal, and then this happens.
This is my concern. I think we're going back to what we saw during COVID, which is because of uncertainty, people won't manufacture, they won't make, they won't commit.
That's right.
Products and building until they're certain what the market is looking for.
No
and
business
what
is going
cost
to
them.
Build stuff knowing
that they might not sell.
Yeah, they might not sell. There's no business except for maybe Apple that doesn't know 100% that their product isn't going to be successful. Apple knows it, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Most of the car companies know which products to build in advance because they know what's successful. But when you add this kind of a turmoil into it, where it's not just one industry, it's everything. It's food, it's goods, it's clothing, it's everything. It just screws everyone over.
Yeah. And what happened during COVID, because everyone thinks, why can't Apple just build the phones up in advance? They've got, probably got 50 suppliers that go into an iPhone, the components.
Yeah.
Any one of those manufacturers turns around and says, well, we're not manufacturing right now because we're not sure what the market's going to do. Or we haven't got the capital to run that risk. So we're going to have to defer your order until we're in a better position. Right. All of a sudden, no iPhones because you need all the components. You can't have 95% of them.
Yeah, just think of the screen itself. The company that makes the screen, let's say it's Samsung. Well, Samsung doesn't make all the ribbons. They don't make all the screws. They don't make the glass. These are just to make the screen itself.
Even the raw materials, the chemicals.
Yeah.
Yeah. The rare earths, all the stuff that goes into that. Yeah. They've got to get from somebody. And if the rare earth companies go, well, you know what? We can see this uncertainty and we think the price is going to go up. So we're not going to sell to you now. We want to sell to you in 3 months' time when the price is higher. Yeah. Then they'll go, well, that's no screens. That's basically and that's what happened during COVID. Everything slowed down and you couldn't get certainty on everything. And then what happened is the secondhand market, you saw this in the car market, went through the roof.
Yep.
Because people still wanted product and they said, well, if I can't buy a new one, and they can't tell me when I'm going to get a new one, and I need one now, then I'm going to have to go and buy a used one. And the price of the used ones went up because of the demand went up. This is what we're going to see again. And it's probably already too late.
Yeah.
The market uncertainty has already done this. And you know how I can tell? Knowing kind of how these supply chains worked, I went and looked at MacBooks in the last week because I know that, this might happen. And I was of the view that I've got a MacBook Air M1, which I use when I travel, but my home computer, I talked about a few weeks ago, was a used Intel i9 MacBook Pro, which I love, 15-inch, very, very nice machine. But it has the butterfly keyboard on it. And sure enough, when the keys stopped working, I had to take it to Apple, and they got it fixed for no charge. But I thought to myself, that's not great. And what I really want to replace it with is a 15-inch MacBook Air. So I went looking at the market, and I noticed something in the last couple of weeks. First of all, Apple in the UK, and pretty much everybody else selling the MacBook Air at the moment, all of a sudden started offering 0% finance. They never do that. They do it like once. Apple in particular does it like once every 5 years. And I looked at Apple, and it turns out they're now offering 0% finance on everything they sell. Normally, it's only on the phones, but no, it's on everything. Even the refurbished Macs, they're offering 0% finance on. And you look at that and you think, even Apple's wanted to shift product here. Yeah. The second thing is the 15-inch M4 MacBook Air that I was interested in, the base one, which came out 2 months ago. It was at the end of March, wasn't it? Yeah. Yeah. So 6 weeks, 8 weeks ago, something like that. Yeah. Suddenly was being discounted. Not by Apple. Apple doesn't discount. But everyone else has discounted. I was able to pick up one of these. I bought one in the end, I was able to pick a brand new 16 gig M4 MacBook Air in 15 inch in sky blue, the hot new color, and I got it a discount of £180.
Did you get the 256 or the 512?
256, the entry level one. But bear in mind that this machine is less than 2 months old. Yeah, has already been discounted, and it was discounted anyway because they reduced the price by £100 when it was launched, and they'd also upped the memory to 16 gig. Yeah, so to me, this was just like a no-brainer deal. It really was. You're never going to get a 15-inch MacBook Air, brand new, the latest model, as cheap as that. Oh, and if you wanted to, you can find. I didn't finance it because I had the money. But, you know, they just don't get discounted like that. And I think the reason is because they know they want to sell product through, because they don't want to get stuck with inventory. And, you know, to me, this was what the market was telling me. And also, I'm thinking, right, now I've got the latest machine, brand new. So if you can't get computers for the next 2 years, I'm good because I've got the latest one.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So
let's talk about the MacBook. Have you got it yet?
Yeah, I got it. I went and picked it up the next day. It is an amazing. I always just said the M1 MacBook Air was the best computer I ever had. Uh-huh. This is the best computer I've ever had. It's just like everything happens instantaneously. The battery lasts for about 20 hours.
Jeez.
It's a big 15-inch screen. It's got a decent keyboard that doesn't break on the older ones. You know, it's a bit short on ports. It's only got two USB-C Thunderbolt ports, and then it's got
that's what it docks for.
The mag, it's got the mag. Yeah, it's got the new MagSafe thing, which I look at and I think, well, it's nice to have, but the reality is, I think most of the time, unless I'm short of ports, I'm going to plug a USB-C charger into that instead. But I hardly ever need to charge it because it lasts forever. And you know, I like the sky. A lot of people went, oh, sky blue is not really. It's like silver with a hint of blue in it. No, it's not. It looks blue. And it looks nice, you know.
The Best screen Buy is amazing. Has a 13-inch right now for $849. That's $150 off. Why would you do that?
for a machine that came out 6 weeks ago, and they're knocking £150 off.
Why would you do that?
It's $150. Well, they're doing it because they don't want to be stuck with inventory.
Yeah.
That you know, I mean, some companies, for instance, don't actually pay for that inventory until they actually sell it. And with tariffs, you know, you might end up having to pay more.
You know, Switch 2 is coming, but Nintendo at one point stopped pre-orders because they weren't sure what was going to go on. But then they turned around and,
And now they've jacked up the price of all the accessories because, you know, they took it. I thought this is a bit unfair. They took a bit of a ding from people like us, though not from us because we don't agree with this, when they announced the price of Switch 2 and it was substantially more expensive than the first Switch.
Yeah, what was it, $549? No, what was it?
Is it $449, something like that?
Let me look it up here.
Switch well, it depends on whether you get it bundled with the game or not. And the games have gone up as well, and people are bitching about that too. But to be honest, I thought the games were... I always thought the new games on the Switch were kind of cheap. Yeah, $450.
So when it came out, it was the first Switch, it was $299.
Yeah.
But that was 10 years ago.
That was... exactly.
So when I saw $450 for the Switch 2... I didn't blink. I didn't think, oh my God, they can't charge that much. I thought, that's about right.
People have been happily paying for the Steam Deck and for the Asus ROG Ally and all these other
that's at that same kind price of handheld point things. Level, if
that,
not more.
Yeah, that sort of money, if not more. And they've been happily paying that. And the Switch, too, is kind of power-wise, is probably roughly equivalent to one of those, certainly to the Steam Deck, which is a little bit
who knows? Old. But here's the thing. Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter because it plays Nintendo games. It's for the games. Yeah. You're never going to get a Nintendo game for a Switch 2 that doesn't play perfectly on the Switch 2, where that's not the case with the ROG Ally
or the Steam Deck.
I've had plenty of games that were substantially discounted. I thought, oh, I'll take, you know, $20. I'll get that. Yeah. And it doesn't work for crap. Or it says, has not been tested on Steam Deck before I bought it. And I went, I don't want to spend $20 and I can't even play it.
Yep, but that is the PC handheld market, which is why the Switch cleans up, because, like you say,
you don't have to worry about it. It just works. Yeah. And you tell me, David, would you rather a system that no matter what game you bought for it, it's just going to work perfectly every time, or do you want one that's kind of rule your own? Hopefully it'll work.
Yeah, and, you know, look, don't get me wrong. The PC guys love to go in and start fiddling with settings and that sort of thing to get the games to work. But half the time, the games should work, but because they've been coded so badly on the PC, they don't work when they launch. It's about 3 years later before they actually work at the performance they should do. So, you know, that's the risk you take with PC gaming. And some people like that. Some people like to go out and buy new graphics cards to run the latest game.
Sure.
Good luck with that in the next 2-3 years, because we're going to have the same thing again. We had that during COVID, where you couldn't get a graphics card for love nor money. And that's going to happen again.
Well, some of that, though, wasn't shortages. It was Bitcoin people, miners, that were buying them all up.
Yeah. But also, as well, and also, because you buy PC components, there's a lot of speculators that go in, and they want to sell them at a profit. And interestingly enough, one of the things Nintendo did with the Switch 2 pre-orders is you had to have a certain amount of game time on your account on a Switch 1 before they would let you pre-order, to stop people who've never played Nintendo before from buying the things and then reselling them at a profit, which I thought was a pretty smart move, really. So a
bunch of scammers are already on eBay with the Switch 2. $650.
Well, yeah, but they'll be selling ones they don't have, because nobody's got them at the moment.
Yeah, it says in stock online. No, it's not. Liar. You don't.
If it's in stock online, you can send it tomorrow, can't you? Oh, no, I can't do that. Yeah. Nintendo won't let me. It's just like, you lie.
You lie.
Next, you'll be selling me a four-wheel drive Switch.
Now, will we get... Yeah, all-wheel drive. will we get a Switch 2 here at our house? We will. Absolutely.
I will, but
not right away. I'm not going to...
Yeah. Alexander is jonesing so bad for a Switch 2, and he's been, you know, trying to figure out. And I've said to him, look, first of all, you're not working at the moment. I said, buy yourself a Switch 2 when you have a job and you get your first paycheck. It'll be a nice treat for yourself.
Yeah. I know Cole wants one, but we're going to wait for a little... Number one, they're selling out too quickly right now.
Yeah.
And number two, I want to play it myself, so... Yeah, we'll get one.
I prefer the handheld. I don't like playing it on the TV. We have the original Switch on the TV, but I never use it. I prefer my Switch Lite. So me, I'm waiting for the Switch 2 Lite.
And, I like my I like my Switch OLED.
Right.
It really is a way better screen than the original. But here's the thing, though. I never play my Switch docked anymore. I never do.
Well, that's the same. That's why I like the Switch Lite, because I always have it in my hand. And that's why I also play my Steam Deck, my ROG Ally, because I like to play handheld. I don't like to play on the screen.
Although I have been playing some classic games on my Mac. I have my, Xbox, whatever the latest Xbox controller is. I've got it connected to my Mac.
Right.
And I've been using OpenEMU emulation. Yeah. On my Mac to play games. Right now, I've got one paused. It is Miss Pac-Man Maze Madness. I think it's... Mm-hmm. It's a Nintendo 64 game. Fun game so far, but the nice thing is, when I put it to the background, it automatically pauses.
Cool.
So, I've been playing that, but...
Yeah.
I don't play a lot of video games that's not handheld. It's just...
The only ones I will play on my Mac, and when I travel, I may well do this with the new machine, is play the sort of games that don't work well on a handheld, like the RTS games and stuff like that. So Command & Conquer, Homeworld, stuff like that, which I've not played for a long time because I haven't had a desktop system that really I'd sat down and used. I was thinking to myself recently, I said, maybe I should start playing those with the mouse and the keyboard.
You play Command & Conquer with anything other than a mouse?
Well, you can't.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know how you would do that.
So, Diablo.
You were playing Diablo.
Diablo 3.
Which was built for handhelds,
It was built for handhelds, but not the PC version. So if you've got the PC version of Diablo 3, you can't play it on the Steam Deck because it doesn't have controller support. I played Diablo 3 on my Switch because it was optimized for the Switch and it had controller support built in. Diablo 4 was the first one that came standard with controller support. And then the remasters of Diablo 2 that came out a couple of years ago, they added controller support because... Even Blizzard recognised that most people want to play these games on the handheld now. They don't want to sit down.
What time are they coming to pick you up?
Command & Conquer, Homeworld, most of these, you know, Age of Empires, most of these real-time strategy games, the interface was designed for a keyboard and mouse. And They don't adapt. Even if somebody tries to change them, they don't adapt well.
Right.
So you have to have a keyboard and mouse to play them properly. And I have a ton of those games in my Steam library, and I'd love to play them again. In fact, I was just, you know, I've been playing a couple of space games, and I thought, so I really should go back to Homeworld because I never finished it. And that was like the ultimate 3D space battle. It was like playing Battlestar Galactica.
Did I ever send you the link to the website that has Warcraft 2 that you play right in your web browser?
No. No, I'll have to give that a try.
It's the DOS version. And
that's another one, actually. I bought but never actually played at all StarCraft Remastered.
Oh, that's a good game.
Yeah, but that's one you have to play on a computer with a keyboard and mouse.
Did I ever tell you the story about StarCraft and me?
Don't think so.
So, StarCraft or Warcraft 2 had come out, and it was a gigantic hit, you know, as you well know.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Everyone knew is it Blizzard? No. Was it Blizzard? Yeah. Blizzard had said that they're coming out with a space one called StarCraft. And everybody was like, oh my God, this is going to be the greatest thing ever. And so, let me see if I can find it on my Mac while I'm talking. So, obviously, I had written an article about it. And you got to remember, this was back in the day where... here, let me do a search. StarCraft. Let's see if I can find it. Now that I've been updating the site. Yeah, I did find it. So, they sent me a copy of StarCraft 2 beta on CD.
Right.
A year before the game came out.
Okay.
A year.
This is StarCraft 2 or StarCraft 1?
No, StarCraft. 1? Just the first game.
StarCraft. So, yeah. So it came out at March 98. So this is sometime in 97.
They
sent you it.
I got it a year and I wrote an article. Mm-hmm. And I had some screenshots and, you know... Now, let's be honest. They gave it to me because they knew it would generate buzz, right? That's the only reason. But I had posted it, and I literally got emails from people offering me, you know, $200-$300 to send them the disc.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. And then they would have pirated it, and you would have been in real trouble.
No, maybe not.
Because they would have released it online.
These are people that really just wanted to play it. They were readers of the site. Those aren't usually...
Yeah, but it would have fallen, because they would have passed it on to somebody else. It would have eventually fallen into somebody who would have torrented it and put it online.
Mm-hmm.
And then Blizzard would have been desperately unhappy, and God forbid that they actually had code in the disc that let them identify who it was who'd leaked it.
But
you don't want to be that guy.
I was never that guy. But
no,
I got to play StarCraft a year before the general public. And at the time, you know, this is not pre-internet, but kind of is. I couldn't find anybody else that wasn't part of Blizzard that was officially releasing screenshots and shit that had anything about it except me.
Mm-hmm.
And we got so many downloads on that issue. Oh my God.
Yeah.
It's funny, I just did a search and I did not find my original article. I found my actual review from 99. But I did find my review for Myth of the Fallen Lords. And I remember LAN parties that we had at the place that I worked at the time. And it was such a blast. It was such...
Yeah.
You're Vikings and you're like in a dungeon and you're playing against each other. And and we're in this huge, you know, studio. It's a big space, but I can hear people yelling. And we played at lunchtime, yelling because someone just got their head chopped off by, you know, a graphic designer. Such fun. That was such fun.
Yeah. Oh, people. I mean, obviously you can do that now, but you don't need to be around each other on a LAN.
Oh, maybe that's not the game. No, I'm looking at the screenshot. So it wasn't Myth. Myth of Fallen Lords is RTS, kind of.
Yeah.
Which one am I thinking of? I can't remember now.
I don't know.
It was Vikings. It was LAN compatible, but you could play it by yourself. you're in a dungeon. You could steal other people's weapons. If you got killed, a different kind of game plays. But if you got killed, you had to wait until the new game started because it's one and done.
Yeah.
So much fun. So much fun. But I'm looking at the screenshots from Myth of the Fallen Lords, which, by the way, I gave it a 5 out of 5 review back in 99. 98, 99, 98. it's kind of Warcraft, but it's not.
Was this the Lost Vikings?
No, the Lost Lords.
All right.
This I would like to play online again. But yeah. Like you'd be in snow, and if you got hit, you'd see like blood splatter, and I thought that was cool back then. I mean, 1999, I would have been, 29 years old?
Yeah.
Nowadays, I don't really care about. I don't need blood splatter in my games anymore.
No.
It looks like you can still download it and play this game. I wouldn't want to.
Most old games are knocking around somewhere online.
I don't mind trying to play it online. But if I have to download an old Windows 95 game that's been cracked, I don't think I'd rather do that.
Yeah, it's a bit sketchy, isn't it?
Yeah,
a bit sketchy. And then it's getting it running. I mean, these old games have not been remastered. It's sometimes quite difficult to get running on modern systems. So, the ones in the browsers are great because you don't need to do anything.
Doesn't look like it's online anywhere. I mean, it's online, you can download it, but doesn't look like anybody's ever texted to play in the browser. It's one of those games that just kind of disappeared. It was made by Bungie, by the way, and of course they had a bigger game that came out not too long after called Halo that kind of took over. Yeah. And it got a little bit more popular.
Exactly. But, paved the way for Halo.
Speaking of video games, I know that you like to play your Rogue Ally, and I know that goes through batteries quite often, yeah?
Oh, yeah. That's the only down thing about it. When I got the Ally, I thought, this is so much nicer than the Steam Deck. It has a bigger screen. The controls are a little bit better. It runs Windows, which means you can run, not only can you run Steam, but you can run the other game stores. You can use it as a standalone computer. You can hook up a keyboard and mouse to it quite nice and easily, and then use it as a laptop. And then you can play those RTS games and that sort of things on it if you want to. It was a really nice system. The only downside was the battery life compared to Steam Deck sucks, and the Steam Deck is not exactly great on the battery either. But, playing a major, even a not necessarily a recent Steam game, but, one from a few years old, you'll get on the battery about maybe about an hour and a half, which is okay, but it's not fantastic.
Yeah, you and I aren't playing a game for more than an hour and a half most of the time.
No, but sometimes what you want to do is you want to play one game and then go on to a different one.
Yeah.
And, your gaming sessions are restricted by the amount of power in the battery. So I've spent the last year and 18 months or so trying to sit near a power adapter when I want to have a longer game session, and that's not always convenient.
Especially if you're on a train or something.
Yeah. So recently I saw a review online of a kit that allows you to replace, because they updated the ROG Ally with the ROG Ally X, and basically the Ally X is exactly the same computer with the same internals, but just a larger battery and some slightly adjusted controls. And they want an extra $250 or something like that for that. Yeah. They just basically, it was like when you get a car and then they do a revision the following year and it looks the same, but they've changed the internals.
Yep.
They've just fixed all the things that people complained about. And apparently the battery life on the Ally X is, because it has a bigger battery, is much, much better and it's much more playable.
Yeah.
But I don't want to go out and spend that sort of money just to get one that's virtually exactly the same for the battery. So JSO, who do the cases and things, recently released a battery upgrade kit for the original with a new back and a new battery, and you can cut, and all the tools you need to take it apart and fit the new battery. And it gives you, as I think it's about... like another 50-60% in the battery. It's not quite as good as the Ally X, but it's a lot better than it is. And I looked at that and it's about $80, and I thought, well, I might do that. But then I realized that to actually fit that, you have to cut the inside of your ROG Ally, and I thought, I'm not doing that.
If this would have been 20 years ago, I totally would have done it.
Yeah, but I thought to myself, no, I'm really not doing that, because if I screw it up, then I've trashed my system. And even if I haven't screwed it up, I still don't like the idea of cutting bits of plastic off my ROG Ally.
I'm with you.
So I thought to myself, no, the root to this is an external battery. And I started looking around, and I found what I thought was the deal of all deals on Amazon a couple of weeks ago, which is a 50,000 milliamp hour battery.
It looks like watts, sort of thing, USB-C.
Yeah, 65 watt hours, yeah. And this was 40 quid. It was on a deal from Amazon.
It still is, by the way. It's $39.99. It's 43% off.
£40 for a battery that's the sort of thing that, you know, back in the day, people would pay £200 and would take camping with them.
Yeah.
And in fact, this looks like it has kind of been designed for camping.
Yeah, it's got a handle.
It has a handle on it, and it also has a light on it, so you can turn the light on and kind of use it.
It has a screen too, which is kind of neat.
Yeah. Well, this is the other thing, is it's really quite high tech. Now, I saw this. You know what the problem is with Amazon? Is that sometimes some of these Far Eastern companies will massage or inflate their performance figures in their ads.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, so sometimes they'll say, you know, you've seen it on eBay, something like that. You'll see something for 20 quid and it says it's got 80,000 milliamp hours. And you look at it and you think, no, it hasn't.
It does not.
So I bought this thinking, well, this might be one of those ones. The reason it's so cheap is because actually it doesn't comply with the performance that actually is on the tin. This thing absolutely does. I charged it up and I plugged my Rog Ally in and I literally played for 4 hours straight.
Here's the funny thing. Here's the first review. This is a large amount of charge for a low price. It provides 65 watts to my Rog Ally for turbo mode, and it charges my device 3.5 times.
Exactly. Yeah. My when I plugged my Ally in it, I think it was on 60% battery. So it fully charged it up. I played for 4 hours. And after I finished, my Rog Ally was still 100% charged. And the little screen on top of it said it had about 70% battery left.
That's crazy.
In the battery.
Yep.
This thing is insane. And I'm thinking, you know what? If I'm working on my laptop at the kitchen table, I now don't need to stretch cables across the room from the outlets at the walls. I can just plug this in because it'll charge a MacBook Air or a Windows PC a couple of times before it blinks.
Yeah.
You know.
And with your MacBook Air, you're getting what, 10 hours?
Yeah, well, more than that, 15 to 20 hours, depending on what exactly I'm doing. But the thing is, you know what? The problem with having something with a long charge on it is that you never recharge it. And then sometimes you can find you're quite low on charge.
Yep.
And you think, I'm not going to get through the rest of the day.
Yep.
So with this, and not only that, it's got loads of ports on it. So you can actually charge your phone. You could charge your headphones. You know, sometimes the headphones are the worst thing, because if you spend a day on Teams calls for work, between calls, you need to recharge the headphones because they won't last for 8 hours. So you need to be charging them when you're not using them. And that's a pain in the ass if you can't then... You have to get up from what you're doing and go and plug them in somewhere and then remember to get them when the next call comes and everything. Now I can just have them right next to me on the desk. This thing is... It's not large for what it is. It's relatively heavy because it's got a big battery in it. But it's not like, you know, it's not like a car battery.
Right.
It's pretty toastable. And yeah, I sit down in the evening and I want to play games while I'm watching TV with my wife. And I just run a cable from the Rog Ally down to this thing that sat on the floor. And I'm good for the evening. And like I said, I probably would have paid double for this had I known what it could do. But the fact that I got it 40 quid on a deal is just that I just thought was brilliant. So I would recommend this. And it absolutely does perform to the specification on the website.
It's called PowerRad.
PowerRad, yeah.
PowerRad Pro, 50,000 megawatts or mega amps.
Milliamps.
I'll get there.
Yeah,
it looks pretty cool. If I remember, I'll put a link in the show notes at techjampodcast.com and, of course, at mymac.com. Last thing that we need to talk about, because we're going to go a little shorter because I got a kid coming over here in a few minutes to pick up the kid that still lives here, because they're going to a record show. Yes, records, like LPs.
Mm-hmm. Like vinyl.
Yeah.
Everything old comes around again.
Yeah. Well, there was a show in Kalamazoo that I took Felix to probably 5 years ago, and he's gone a few times since then. So, yeah, it was fun to take him
there. I do wonder if all the kids who have rediscovered the joys of vinyl in about 5 years' time are going to go, well, yeah, vinyl's cool, but we discovered this other retro thing that's even better called a CD, and it sounds so much better than vinyl.
Yeah, CDs are making a little bit of a comeback. I tell you what was surprising when we went to the record store was how many people were selling cassettes, and they were selling fast. But it was all great.
Yeah, well, cassettes is the new hotness.
Yes.
But I don't, you see, that's what I don't understand, because I can understand vinyl. It has a certain richness and analog warmth to it, and if you have a good setup and you keep the records clean, it can sound really good. But nobody ever bought cassettes back in the day because of the quality of the audio. We bought them because it was the only portable way to listen to our music. Yes. And as soon as something better came along, we dumped those things. So I'm a bit mystified by the cassette revival, because that really is like a complete downgrade. And, you know, I loved my cassettes back in the day, but as soon as something better came along, I lost interest, because they didn't sound great. Even with Dolby and all of that, you know, they no matter how good your equipment was, a cassette never sounded as good as anything else.
It's funny, so, talking about old, you know, ways to listen to music. On Facebook, a guy named Mazen El-Angari, he's in Dubai, he used to write for us at MyMac, because MyMac is literally international. I mean, it always from the very first year, we were reaching people across the world before the internet, you know. And he wrote some articles and stuff, and we've been friends on Facebook, but I don't see his posts very often, which I know that's shocking. But he had a picture of his hand holding a 30-pin iPod. And it says songs 1,190 capacity. It's a 20 gig. He still has 6.9 gigs available, version 3.11. I think this is, I'm going to say, the third generation, because it's not the clicky wheel, but it still has the wheel on it. But it's capacitive touch.
Yeah.
And that's all it says. Back to life after 21 years. And I commented, I said, there's just something special about the feel of those.
Yeah.
And he said, over 20 years later, yes, my friend, it still feels better than anything that came out since. And I wrote, Steve Jobs era. And he says, man, those were the days. And am I glad to experience them? And met friends like you for a life like those products. By the way, still have an iPhone 4 running now in 2025.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's cool to know people, you know, worldwide. I think that it changes your perspective. You know, when you think, oh, this is our country and we're something special, and we're all the same. Everybody wants the same stuff. They want cool things in their life that's neat, whatever you're into. You want food, you want shelter, you want safety, you want happiness. Everybody wants the same thing. Everybody.
Yeah.
And so when somebody puts themselves above others, we're something special. I'm so just sick and tired of the tribalism. I just am. Yeah. Last thing we're going to talk about, because like I said, we got to wrap this up. I saw this a couple weeks ago. Have you ever used a crosswalk button in the U.S. where it talks to you?
I have.
Yeah.
They don't have them here.
Yeah, it's for blind people to let them know it's safe to cross the street. It tells them.
Yeah, we have a standard set of noises that the UK ones all make.
Yep.
Which do the same thing, but it's beeps and tones. It's not voices.
So, crosswalk buttons in at least three California cities appear to have been hacked this weekend to give them seemingly AI-generated voices of Tesla CEO Elon Musk and Meta CEO Mark Zuckerberg.
Yeah, because the security in these things is...
Welcome you to Palo Alto. You know, people keep saying cancer is bad, but have you tried being a cancer? It's fucking awesome. Call me Elon Omar.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hi, this is Elon Musk. Welcome to Palo Alto, the home of Tesla engineering. You know, they say money can't buy happiness, and yeah, okay. I guess that's true. God knows I've tried, but it can't buy a Cybertruck, and that's pretty sick, right? Right? Fuck, I'm so alone.
Fuck, I'm so alone.
Yeah.
Whoever did these hacks are my hero. They're so brilliant.
The reality is that equipment is not hard to hack, because I imagine it was developed in a time where nobody ever thought that anybody would
hack them.
Think about hacking them. You know,
I love that
and
so
they're
much.
They're probably not very secure.
It's the best type of resistance that I enjoy.
Absolutely. It's pretty clever, because the one thing that the pompous people of the world hate is when you mock them.
Yes.
Despite the fact they're quite happy to mock other people, but they really don't like, you know, and really, obviously, it's a pretty ripe target nowadays. Some of the stuff I see online around, what was it? So the Signal chat stuff, and the guy did it again, the defense secretary and all that, you know, is very funny. A lot of very funny Elon Musk stuff, You know, and of course, you know, people have been going on about the swastikas now and stuff like that as well. It's very good to really, and it works, because apparently one of the reasons he's looking at stepping back from Doge is because he doesn't like how it's affecting Tesla and him and that sort of stuff, you know.
Good.
So you can only rant so long saying that the people who are being mean to you are political stunt people and that sort of thing. At some point it starts to sting a little, and
yep. You
get them to change some of their awful behavior, even better.
So with that, David, we're going to wrap up this episode of Tech Fan. We'd love to get feedback. It's theshow@techfanpodcast.com. You can always go to techfanpodcast.com or the flagship mymac.com and leave comments right there in the show notes, and we will read them here on the show. David, we'll see you, a week from now, and we're going to be doing the Geeks Pub. Brand new 90s show. We're going after the 90s movies. Yeah. It's going to be a difficult show. Cool. We've got some really good movies to talk about. I'll see you then, sir.
See you then. Bye.